Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just got caught here looking at some Twitter. There is an amazing development in the history of the political discourse of our nation going on right now.
The fall of democracy?
Democracy has already fallen. The question was, would there be a puddle of piss to step in? And apparently...
Literally.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, God.
So, again, at the risk of Fiesta Politico, but just having to discuss this because we're all adults here. It is being reported that there is a document by a former Intel advisor that Russian Intel gathered a ton of a dossier about Donald Trump to have blackmail against him. Obviously, like, why is Donald Trump doing the bidding of Russia unless they've got something on him? And I know that this is a question that has a lot of people going, this is a sports station. This is a peace story. You're going to love it. Stick around. Apparently, there is an FBI report that says Russia has a video of prostitutes peeing on Donald Trump, giving him a golden shower that they have over against him. And as I said on Twitter, now we understand the orange tint that he has. It's not fake tan.
It's terrible.
Now we understand the orange tint. People, instead of calling him the president-elect, POTUS, want to call him PETUS. There's a pretty good joke here made by Mr. Nice Guy about trickle-down economics that I liked. I got a zing from me. And someone says, I guess this makes us all now the PC police. P-E-E-S-E-E. PC police. Oh, my God.
Unreal.
So let's talk about firing Bill Musgrave. Hopefully he was shown the door. Hopefully he was shown the door with a little bit more dignity than any of that involves. Be funny if someone did say, though, Jack Del Rio literally translates into masturbating into this river. I saw that the other day, and that made me laugh, so I had to share that. It feels like...
Earmuffs, kids, earmuffs.
The segue was right based on the subject matter. But anyways, look, the Raiders let Bill Musgrave go. Todd Downing has been promoted to the new offensive coordinator. Defensive back coach Marcus Robertson is also out. Who knows, maybe Charles Woodson ends up getting promoted to that job full time. But it's just curious to me that a 12-4 Raider team that had to drag its defense and special teams pretty much through the entire season, that's the coach who's going? Remember how baffled we all were earlier in the year when the Buffalo Bills were getting clobbered on defense, so they fired their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman? Remember us talking about that? Like, it kind of feels like you got that backwards. This one kind of feels a little bit backwards to me. Musgrave might not have been state-of-the-art. We asked Marcus Thompson if he endorsed the move, and he said that, you know, based on the fact he thought the Raiders should have had a top-three offense, they underperformed. Yeah, he understands it, but then what about that defense? How is Ken Norton's job safe while Bill Musgrave's job was hanging in the balance with a third-string quarterback, unfortunately leaving you with the last bad taste in your mouth about this team's offense this year? Bill Musgrave, a little bit older, contract that expired. The question whiz, you bring in – question whiz. Sorry. Sorry, it's a Freudian slip right there. The whiz.
What's on your mind, Damon?
Sorry. Hey, there are a few fetishes out there I just do not understand. That's officially one of them. The feet thing, that thing, I don't get it.
Oh.
There's a lot, like, I understand some people like bacon, some people like sausage. Like, I understand there are different tastes in the world, and what turns me on maybe doesn't turn you on, and vice versa. But the whole feet thing, like, I don't get it. What can you do with a foot?
And no judgment, but it's really, really weird.
I don't get how you can attach. That turns me on to the most useless sexual organ there could possibly be that probably smells worse than most of your body.
Oh,
like,
God.
I don't get the foot thing at all, and I certainly don't get the pee thing at all. Not at all. Hey, to each their own, right?
Yes.
Something tells me Hillary would not be having these problems. Like, but her emails, right?
Right.
Oh, boy. So, Clemson and Alabama last night. What a good squirting time that was. Sorry. I'm just, I'm officially distracted.
Biggest squirrel.
This is a really big squirrel here. By the way, you know what squirrels collect? Nuts.
Okay. All right.
So.
How about Clemson and Alabama?
Clemson and Alabama, Gian, I'm glad you asked. Thank you. They put on a show last night. An absolute show. I mean, to score the go-ahead touchdown with 1 second left against Alabama's defense to win a national championship, boys and girls, sports. What more do you need me to say?
It was awesome.
Sports. That was as sports on TV gets. And the truth is, there's a lot of people today wondering if Lane Kiffin wasn't the difference maker in that game. And I really don't think he was, because, look, 31 points is what Alabama scored. 31 points is supposed to be enough behind an Alabama defense to win a game. But you got to give it up to Clemson, who just kept on winning situational football all night long. They won by running 99 plays and tiring Alabama's defense out. The wide receivers made the caught everything. That Leggett kid, he was catching everything thrown his way when it mattered the most, and you got to give it up to Dabo Swinney, who just knocked Urban Meyer and Nick Saban out in back-to-back games. Can you think of a more impressive path than that? I mean, it would be like if on the way to winning the NBA Finals this year, somehow the Golden State Warriors beat the ghost of Red Auerbach. Phil Jackson comes out of retirement with the Showtime Lakers because Pat Riley just wouldn't take the flight in. So, well, I mean, if you just put the best of the best together, that's what Dabo Swinney just got over. He got in the got over the machine that is Nick Saban in Alabama after he beat pretty much the machine that is Urban Meyer in Ohio State. And that was a 31-0 beatdown right there. So Clemson's defense, better than we thought. And they were good when they needed to be. Alabama lost a game where they sported the other team a 14-0 lead early. Or no, they had a 14-0 lead. It was Bama 14-0. And then they had that late touchdown. It was something else. You know, I see that The Vegas odds for the 2018 national titles are already back out here, Gianna. And Alabama, the day after losing its national championship, is already installed as the favorite to win it all next year. Bama is 4-1. Nick Saban reloads on his defense, and his freshman quarterback's going to be a sophomore, and Sark is going to be at the wheels of that offense the entire time. Florida State is at 7-1 with my favorite name of any quarterback in the nation. Do you remember, Gianna?
Mm-mm.
DeAndre Francois.
That's right.
That's the best name in sports. DeAndre Francois. He is going to be a sophomore next year at Florida State. They are second, according to Vegas, to win a national championship. Ohio State is at 15-2. Urban Meyer looking at a new offensive coordinator this year. We'll see how Ohio State looks with Kevin Wilson, former Indiana University head coach, now making the calls. He could score. He just had no defense.
Wow.
Indiana and Ohio State open the season on a Thursday night in Bloomington. Kevin Wilson's going to try and score 100 points. Ohio State's going to try and beat Indiana 100-0 opening weekend next year. It's going to be fun.
That'll be crazy.
I'm already ready to pee. Michigan, Oklahoma, and USC are all at 9-1. Clemson, Dabo needs a new quarterback. He's at 16-1. Texas is at 28-1. Tom Herman, welcome to Austin. Penn State at 33-1. They return everybody. By the way, if you're looking for the best value bet on the board, you want some odds, you want to really make a little money if you have a winning ticket to cash, Penn State at 33-1, returning everybody, might be the best bet on the board right now. Notre Dame's at 40-1. Washington's at 40-1. And here's something that I thought was curious. Cal Cal is 250-1 to win next year's national championship in football. And I got to tell you, I think those are lousy odds considering you don't even know who the coach is going to be. Like, how is Cal not 1,000-1?
Yeah.
250-1, that's terrible. I want much more if I'm going to bet a dollar on Cal. If I bet a dollar on Cal to win a national championship, I better have $1,000 coming back at me per dollar I wager if I'm going to throw my money away like that. Because Cal is clearly coming nowhere within a country mile of a national championship next season. And Bruce Feldman on Fox Sports was talking about candidates that Cal might look at as they try to replace Sonny Dykes. First of all, the biggest problem with Cal is Cal. There's no reason they shouldn't compete for the best of the best. You've got an awesome campus. You've got an awesome school. You've got great facilities. The issue is commitment from the athletic department. And you got an athletic department that's running in the red right now. So there's not a lot of money to go around. There's not money for assistants. There's not money for great recruiters. And it just feels like there is a spiritual war happening on Berkeley's campus between academics and athletics, when there should be an incredible cooperative connection there. It seems like they're at odds with each other. Maybe you know more about it than I do, and you'll be able to demonstrate that in the upcoming Tuesday trifecta. The Pac-12 North is pretty loaded right now. You had Washington losing to Alabama in football's version of the Final Four. Stanford is a complete established power. Washington State is on the rise. And just to be friendly, the Beavers also play football. We'll get them in there, too. But Cal comes with headaches, okay? The athletic department always seems to be at odds with the Berkeley culture. So let's talk about a couple candidates, shall we?
Yes.
Who might come and fill this job. The first name you got to get to is Chip Kelly, because he's here, he's famous, and he's looking for work. I'm not sure he's going to be that interested, though. Even if they called him and asked him if he wanted to come in for an interview, I don't even know if he'd take it. Look, it would get a ton of press, and it would certainly get the Pac-12's attention. But he can't get the same recruits to Berkeley that he did to the Nike factory, and that was a big part of the success. The cool factor that Oregon had helping him recruit isn't at Cal, and it never will be. Not to mention, you're hiring Sonny Dykes on steroids. If you didn't like the way Sonny Dykes coached a football team, you probably hate even more how Chip Kelly coaches a football team. You need a little bit more defense than anything those guys bring to the table. So is that the right direction? Chip Kelly to Cal, it makes sense for a lot of reasons. It doesn't make sense for probably even more. Here's another few names for you that aren't Chip Kelly. Justin Wilcox. He is the defensive coordinator at Wisconsin. He's a former Cal assistant. He was high on the Bears' radar. He did a terrific job at Wisconsin this year. The Badgers' defense was ranked 7th in the nation. He's only 40 years old. Nice young guy. Question is, would he want to leave the Big Ten to come out here for a middling Pac-12 job? T. Martin, USC offensive coordinator. Martin, he led them to number 20 in total offense. That was up 18 spots from last year. He's only 38 years old. He's known to be really good in the kids' living room. He's a good recruiter. He's had stops at New Mexico and Kentucky and has spent the last four seasons here in the Pac-12. The problem is, he's got Sam Darnold. You're telling me he's going to walk away from that kid? The quarterback right now at USC isn't exactly the guy that you walk away from if you're an offensive coordinator looking to put yourself in position for a big-time head coaching job one day. Darnold is the kind of guy that gets you looked at by Notre Dame someday, much less Cal. So I don't know if T. Martin would be smart to walk away from what looks to be a real good run with a real good quarterback down at Southern Cal. That means I don't think –
He's got a good thing going. Why do you leave that?
Jimmy Lake. He is Washington's co-defensive coordinator. He's had two stints in Washington. He had a little NFL experience as well in Tampa and Detroit. And he just coached the best group of defensive backs in all of college football. And if you ask me, the very first thing they need more of at Cal, it's the secondary. My God, my sister and I could pass for 400 yards on Cal. Gianna, you'd have 300 yards passing against Cal if you went out there. You really would. It's like the defense doesn't exist anywhere in the program. So maybe bringing in a defensive-minded coach is a good idea. And on that note, let me throw out a name that probably none of you have heard of, that probably isn't in line for this job, but if I'm Cal, I would knock on his door, get the temperature. Lance Anderson is Stanford's defensive coordinator. Hey, go raid the successful kitchen. Steal a couple recipes as you're trying to throw a party for yourself. And maybe weaken your arch rival. The guy's been a 10-year assistant coach. He's in his third year as defensive coordinator down at Stanford. And that whole Stanford intellectual brutality is something that Cal needs. This guy, he knows how to find and work with elite student athletes. And if getting the kid with the good grades or the bad grades into Cal is an issue for past coaches, and it has been, you know, maybe this guy can help smooth that out, or he can actually go in and sell to the four-star A-plus recruit. Stanford isn't the only place that offers a good education and a good football experience in the Pac-12. We got both at Cal, best public university rated in the nation.
Right.
Why not have an athletic department that goes along with that? I don't understand why they can't be better bedfellows for each other. So we are going to have a Tuesday trifecta coming up in just a little bit, and if you have anything to say about Cal, I think you're going to want to weigh in on that. But first, before we set that up, got to talk a little bit about what the Niners need to get right here, because these are important days for the Niners. They really, really are. Josh McDaniels feels right to an awful lot of people. Josh McDaniels seems to be the number one name out there for anybody's coaching search these days. If he indeed is the number one candidate, why, oh, why would he come to the 49ers? This is a guy who's going to have options, multiple offers, if that's really the way the NFL is perceiving him. Beyond that, remember the report in ProFootballTalk.com that New England front office Nick Cassero was told by someone in New England, don't go to that job in San Francisco? If someone's going to say that to him, why wouldn't they also say that to Josh McDaniels? If the word in the Patriots organization is that the Niners are poison, that word's going to get to Josh McDaniels if it got to Nick Cassero. 30-year-old Sean McVay, that's a name that an awful lot of people are talking about over the last couple days. Apparently, he went to L.A. to interview with the Rams. You got Jed and Parag. They're in New York right now doing interviews. He flew back to New York and interviewed with them and apparently is blowing away everybody that he talks to. The people that are reporting on this are very high on Sean McVay. He's 30 years old. He would be the youngest head coach in modern NFL history. Vance Joseph, Kyle Shanahan, these are also names out there, names that I think the Niners are going to talk to if they haven't already. But once somebody gets hired, dominoes are going to fall fast. If the only reason why the Niners haven't hired any of those guys is because they really do want to hire the GM first, well, good. Because to me, that's the correct answer. And you're putting the cart before the horse the other way around. I'd like to see the Niners get this done in 48 hours. I don't think they need to be the first to hire a head coach, but they shouldn't be the third either. They should get to the front of the line on this decision so they can turn around and pitch to their fan base, oh, by the way, everybody, we really got the person that we wanted. We didn't have to settle here. We didn't have to go to our fourth, fifth option. We got the person we wanted, and I think that that's a very important message to send right now. If you really want a youth movement, I've got one for you. You go ahead and you hire Elliot Wolf, who was born in 1982 out of the Packers front office, son of Ron Wolf, who Charlie Casserly was high on, and you pair him with Sean McVay. And you've got a young GM, you got a young head coach, and you got two guys who can grow and learn together, and let's not pretend that this is ready to win. This is the bunny slope of football teams. It's the perfect place for you to come. Make a couple mistakes while you're learning on the job, because there are no expectations to win around here anytime soon by anyone who understands how football works. If they could get back to 8-8, which was the point of no return and the breaking point for Jim Harbaugh, if they could get back to 8-8, that person would instantly be a Coach of the Year candidate. That is how bare the cupboard is with the 49ers right now. Why not go young? You know, what do you think's going to get the attention of a young, millennial-driven locker room? An older guy, a retread, or maybe a younger guy that they can identify with? A couple of years ago, you couldn't have caught me saying things like this. But based on the fact that most teams' problems are born out of miscommunication, why not have a whole bunch of people who might be able to get along with each other because they're all the same age, they're young, and they're excited, and they're hungry for their opportunity? Yeah, you could go Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, too. All right, fine. You might as well start all anew. Full flush of young guys? It's interesting. It's interesting. We'll see what the 49ers do. Meanwhile, like we said at the top of the show, I'm all about you having to attend family emergencies. Gianna, if you have a family emergency during the middle of an update, if you had a family emergency, you can stop that update, get up, walk out right now. I'll finish the update or whistle through it for you. Albie, you ever have a family emergency, you go. You go. Let me know you're going and you go. Anybody has ever dealt with a family emergency, you know what a massive point of anxiety in your life that can be.
Of course.
And the way people deal with anxiety is always different, one person the next. It's up to the individuals. It really is. But let me just tell you right now, Derrick Rose going no-show on his team to go home to a family emergency and then going out of his way to let everyone know, yeah, I just didn't want to talk to anybody. It's why I didn't return any calls or texts or messages or anything like that. I'm sorry, man. I am sorry. That's garbage. That's garbage. I hope everyone's fine. I hope that your family emergency is no longer an emergency, Derek. I truly do. But you should be suspended multiple games for going AWOL on the New York Knicks. They are fining him, not suspending him a single night of basketball. And with that, Phil Jackson's basketball credibility has now evaporated into a puddle of urine that Donald Trump could have possibly paid a prostitute. And here we are at the beginning of the segment once again.
It's pee!
Thank you very much.
We're all adults here. I mean, for absolutely, you call your boss. You can take 2 minutes to say, hey, I have a family emergency, can't explain it, it's personal, time to go.
It is an absolute, it's the act of a stupid or a selfish person. There's no other way to curb it. You're either incredibly selfish or you're incredibly stupid.
You don't care. You just don't care.
Well, that would get filed under selfish.
Definitely.
That gets filed under selfish. And Derrick Rose, you aren't even a tenth of the player you used to be. And you don't get the superstar treatment anymore, even though you got those superstar dollars. That's ridiculous. Like, if you're a grown adult and you think that Derrick Rose has every right to just no-show on his employer, you're probably unemployed yourself. That's all I can tell you. You're either unemployable yourself or you're on your way to being fired before you know it, because you cannot be a good employee if that's the way you are wired, period, and end of story. I hope everything is comfortable back in the Rose household in Chicago.
Definitely.
I hope whatever emergency he responded to is no longer an emergency situation. Derrick Rose should be suspended for 3 games by the New York Knicks if they had a drop of integrity, and they should take 3-game checks away from him and then fine him a dollar amount that lets him know how important it is to stay in touch with the organization that employs you for millions of dollars.
Right. It's that simple.
It's just that simple. Little common courtesy, folks, goes a long way.
We've all been there.
It's time for our Tuesday trifecta. If you were on hold, I'm so sorry. We're not going to be taking just general topic calls right now, because it's time for our Tuesday trifecta. And our topic today is the best around. The single best title game you have ever watched. Man, we got a good one last night. What is the single best championship game you've ever watched? Question number two. Oh, yeah, there it is. The single best title game you ever watched. Question number two, why aren't Cal Athletics the best around? Why are they getting lapped by the Stanford Athletic Department? Why are they getting lapped by the Diablo Valley Community College Athletic Department? Why are they getting lapped by the UC Davis? Seriously. Sonoma State. Why? I've always thought Cal was a sleeping giant ready to be awoken by the right person. The right person obviously is not here, or can't be found, or can't be hired as AD or head coach of any of their major sports. I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. What is holding Cal back from being one of the best around? And then, here's a question everyone's going to want to answer. Who is the best Twitter follow around? If you had to knock all your follows down to one, that's all you got, who would it be? Who is the best Twitter follow around? All that's coming up on the Tuesday Trifecta. Our topic is the best around. The number is 888-957-9570. Single best title game you've ever watched. Why aren't Cal Athletics the best around? And who is the best Twitter follow around? That's all coming up next here on 95.7 The Game. We're about to get into our Tuesday trifecta. Definitely looking for a few more callers before we officially begin it, though. 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570. And I even told Albie, I think the kiss of death of this Tuesday trifecta might be I'm having the audacity to actually ask a college football question. Nothing turns off a Bay Area sports fan maybe faster than that. But we're going to ask you today about the best around. What is the single best title game you ever watched? Now, that's not just college football. That is the single best title game you've ever watched across all sports. What is it? Why aren't Cal Athletics the best around? Why does it seem like they're forever a middling program? No matter what happens, it wasn't the stadium, there's a new one now. Wasn't the facilities, there's a new one now. Wasn't the basketball gym, there's a new one now. I've seen several coaches come and go. The results really don't change. Why is that? And who is the best Twitter follow around? I figured that would get people running to the phones at 888-957-9570. Let's see how long it takes us. We are officially going to begin it right now.
And suddenly over the loudspeaker, I heard...
Trifecta.
Triple.
Trifecta.
With a triple.
Trifecta.
It's the Tuesday trifecta. One topic, three questions. Now, here's Damon Bruce.
Robin in San Jose, our first up for today's Tuesday trifecta. Thank you, Robin. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thank you very much. What is the single best title game you've ever watched?
Ooh, best title game. You know what? I know it might be a popular answer, but I thought last night Clemson and Bama. Oh, my gosh. I've never been so glued to a game. That
Look,
it's literally one second.
It's an instant classic. I mean, what more could you want than a touchdown against Alabama's defense to win a national championship with 1 second left on the clock? It was amazing. It's one of the best of all time. It really is. That's a fine answer. It's not just being a slave to the moment. Why aren't Cal Athletics the best around?
I think because we are in a very transient area where a lot is high cost of living. I know this sounds kind of like a weird answer, but athletes don't really want to go to a fledgling program, especially when it costs so much to live in the Bay Area. I think we just have recruiting problems, and then we, at least for Cal, we haven't been able, I went to Cal, so we haven't been able to recruit the coaches that can work with just kind of okay players to get our program up to where it needs to be.
Well, that's the thing. You don't spend enough money on assistant coaches. The head coach makes a lot of money. There isn't enough to go around for everybody else, and you're getting killed by other teams. It'll pay more. Better coaches go
and
to better paychecks.
And with lower cost of living. So that way your dollar goes farther for both the players, the coaches, just kind of all around. I really think
if you're an assistant coach making $30,000 a year, you'll be a lot better on that in Texas than you will here in Northern California. Who do you think is the best Twitter follow around, Robin?
Oh, this is why I called in. I got to give it up to Stephen A. Smith. He's my boy. I love him.
Stephen A.
Really?
Stephen A. Smith, my friend put it best. He said, I wish I felt as passionately about anything the way Stephen A. Smith feels about everything.
Yes, well, that's the thing. When you're that passionate about everything, my argument would be you're really not passionate about everything. It feels like you're making it up all the time. But I'm glad you enjoy it. Robin, thank you very much for the call. We need to move on to Roy in Martinez. Roy, the single best championship game you've ever watched.
Well, how you doing, Damon? How you doing, Gianna? I'm going to say, because last night's game was a classic, but I'm going to say the 1968 World Series that my Detroit Tigers that I grew up with as a kid won. That was a great, great championship.
Gibson, right? And was it Fidrich against Gibson? Is that what that was?
there was Mickey Lolich. You had
Mickey
Lolich. Cash.
That's, excuse me, Mickey Lolich. Not why aren't Cal Athletics the best around?
Well, I work at Cal, so I can pretty much tell you that you were almost spot on when you compared the culture there to the 49ers head office. I believe that it's the culture. It's. I think they just henpecked those people. Even if they pay them a gazillion dollars, they expect so much for that gazillion dollars that I think they henpeck them right out the door.
Who's the best follow on Twitter, Roy?
All right, here's a shameless plug. It's going to be the Graduate School of Journalism at UC Berkeley, where I work. And I think that they have a really good, informative, true news Twitter feed.
Nice. Nice. It's not some lefty, liberal, pinko, commie, liberal Twitter Berkeley thing?
No, these are all students trying to change the way that journalism is for the future, and it's really good stuff.
I love it. Thank you. What is it again? Give it to me again.
It's the Graduate School of Journalism at UC Berkeley.
Grad school, UC Berkeley, journalism. I'm writing it down. I'm going to give him a follow before the end of today. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call, Roy. We go to David in San Jose. David, single best championship game you've ever watched?
Hey, Damon. How's it going, man?
Going well. Thank you.
I want to say, for me, it was Super Bowl, I think it was 23. It was the 49ers, Bengals number two, the Montana to Taylor at the last, at the end of the fourth quarter.
John Candy game.
Got this. Yeah.
The John Candy game, absolutely. Why aren't Cal Athletics Athletics the best around?
I think you do have a lot of tension at Cal between the athletic department and the academic department. And, California state budgets, Cal's not exactly flush with money, and they're not necessarily willing to spend like other public schools in the country or like Stanford that's private. So I think that combination makes it hard for them to recruit top talent coaching-wise and student-athletes.
Who is the best Twitter follower around?
My favorite right now, I'm kind of a Fiesta political guy myself, is a page called LOL GOP. Kind of self-explanatory.
I follow it, too. Thank you very much. I'm a big fan. Thank you. This is John in San Francisco. John, best title game you ever watched?
Easily, and I don't care. I'm biased. This can be. It was absolutely without a doubt. Game 7, Chicago Cubs against the Cleveland Indians this year. Undoubtedly the greatest championship game of all time.
Thank you very much. So I wrote down my answer, so I would give it. Gianna, would you please write down what I wrote for my answer?
Game 7 World Series this year.
There you go. Game 7 World Series this year is the most amazing baseball game I've ever watched in my life. I never even want one that comes close to that. I don't think I can go through it again. Why aren't Cal Athletics the best around?
It's quite simple. You just don't have any good coaches who have the ability to turn a program who has decently good talent enough to compete in the Pac-12 and turn it into actually something. They don't have a Harbaugh. They've never had anything close to that. They've had coaches who can coach one side or the other, either really good offensively and, well, not really good defensively, but yeah.
Who is the best Twitter follower around, John?
For me, it's Anna Kendrick. She's absolutely gorgeous. She's hilariously funny, and her tweets just kind of remind you that even though she's a superstar, she's still kind of just a normal, funny, ditzy girl that's kind of hilarious to watch and listen to.
All right, Anna Kendrick it is.
She's a great Twitter follower. I follow her as well.
Oh, nice. Yep, I'm not great. Following Anna Kendrick. Maybe yep. I'm missing out. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're going to take a very short break and come on back on the other side with even more of your Tuesday trifecta answers. Best title game you've ever watched? Why aren't Cal Athletics the best around? And who is the best follow on Twitter? That's how we're going to wrap up today's Damon Bruce Show. Right after this segment, we got Warriors warm-up coming. My friend Kerry Keating is already in the building. We're at the Crown Royal Club here at Oracle Arena. Our coverage of Warriors and Heat begins at 6 o'clock tonight on 95.7 The Game. Oh, I forgot to put my headphones on. Hold on. There we go. Very professional.
Good Bam. Job.
Now I can hear, now I can talk, and welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. It's our final segment this afternoon. My buddy Kerry Keating joins me at the top of the hour. We're going to take you right into Warriors warm-up tonight. No Klay Thompson tonight. He's a healthy scratch, the very first Warriors starter to get the healthy scratch treatment all season long. Probably going to see Patrick McCaw get the start for him. But we're going to return now to wrap up our Tuesday trifecta. I think we're in the middle of an interesting one. The best around. We go to Chris. Chris is in Oakland. Chris, thank you very much for the phone call. What is the single best title game you've ever watched?
Well, I think the previous caller before said it. It was Game 7 of the World Series, Cubs and Indians. That was a pretty stellar game.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Why aren't Cal Athletics the best around? They seem to be a sleeping giant that never wakes up.
Yeah, that was a difficult one to think of. And what I came up with was not being able to recruit or get the right coaches in place than to recruit the right players. If you look at Harbaugh when he left the Niners to go to Michigan, I'm sure a lot of D1 players then you turn their focus on Michigan. So I think getting the, you know, recruiting the right players for sure.
Who is the best Twitter follower around?
Believe it or not, Wendy's is a pretty great Twitter follower. You should check them out.
Wendy's, the fast food Wendy's chain?
Fast food chain. They're, whoever does their Twitter is pretty witty. And, yeah, you should scroll through their feed. It's pretty great.
All right. That is so random.
Gianna, check out Wendy's. Let's
Where's
see if
the
it's
beef?
A foul. So I did go ahead and start following the Berkeley School of Journalism.
I did, too.
I did start following them. We had a heavy Anna Kendrick suggestion. And honestly, here's the thing. She is so popular with 6 million followers. Anything that she really says is going to get retweeted by somebody on my timeline, and I'll see the good stuff. I don't need to be an Anna Kendrick's follower. I like her. Fan. Not following.
She's not going there.
Not
okay.
following. I don't need to be one of 6 million. We move on. We move on to Derek in San Mateo. Thank you for the call, Derek. Single best title game you've ever watched?
I got to go with the 05 Rose Bowl, USC in Texas.
Yeah, that was the best national championship game right up until the one we saw last night for sure. Why aren't Cal Athletics the best around?
Have you seen the woman in Southern California?
Strong argument. Have you seen the Lumberjacks in Oregon? They put a team together.
Yeah, that's a good point you got there, Damon.
Who is the best Twitter follower around?
I'm going to have to go with Kanye West when he goes on his rant. That's,
yeah.
That's pretty great.
Watching a narcissist lose touch with reality live on Twitter is really kind of interesting. Thank you very much. I would also recommend at Real Donald Trump if you'd like to see a narcissist
one.
Losing reality on Twitter. We go to Jim in Moraga. Jim, single best title game you've ever watched?
I'd have to say the Niners goal line stand against the Bengals in 82 with Big Dan Bunn stuffing the run and giving the Niners their first Super Bowl win.
Why aren't Cal Athletics the best around? What's holding them back?
There's a couple of things. They have 28 sports, which I believe is the most in the country, and football funds all of them. And football doesn't have enough revenue to fund all of them, and they don't have the money to pay anything more than the head coach and the coordinators, the assistant coaches. They need guys that can recruit more, and they can't afford to pay those guys. I think they're finally starting to wake up to that and might change that with this new hire.
Well, I hope they do. I don't think it's a numbers game, though, in terms of how many varsity sports they have. I guarantee you they have more at Texas or any, you know, SEC school, Big Ten school. So I don't think it's that. As a matter of fact, Cal started cutting back on their programs in a budget issue a few years ago. I remember when Cal baseball was on the chopping block, but they were able to put the money together to save that. That was a big deal. Who is your best Twitter follow, Jim?
I'll have to go with at Cal Football.
There you go. Go Cal Football. You sound like you care. I hope they make a good hire for you, man. We'll wrap up our Tuesday trifecta today with Ben in Oakland. Ben, single best title game you've ever watched. What was it?
It's the 89 World Series, the Battle of the Bay.
Yeah, it was a little anticlimactic there. That was a sweep, right?
Yep.
I guess you're an A's fan. Why aren't Cal Athletics the best around?
I think they need better coaches.
Who is the best Twitter follower around?
I think Draymond Green.
Draymond is good.
He's
by the
very
way,
good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Has anyone seen the new Draymond Green Sports Center commercial? So there's no bigger lie in the world than the This Is SportsCenter commercials. The This Is SportsCenter commercials make ESPN look like one of the most fun places in the world to work. Everybody there must love sports and be really happy. No, it's actually awful. I did 3 years in Bristol. It was like doing time in prison. It really was. It was the least amount of fun you can have while you're learning, you know, at one of the highest places to learn whatever the hell it is I learned when I was there. We're still not even clear on that. But the This Is SportsCenter commercial campaign is one of the greatest advertising campaigns of my life.
They did a great job with that.
The old ones that they used to have, at the end of the year, they always used to take all the This Is SportsCenter commercials and play them on an infinite loop, one after another. And it, I swear to God, it was good. And I always used to joke around, if there were ever a movie called Previews, where you just got 2.5 hours of previews...
That's a good idea.
I would go to that movie.
I get so angry when I miss the previews. They're like mini movies.
There was a show on, like, I don't know if it was like Bravo or A&E, but it was all about like just previews. It was a half an hour of previews, and I would watch it all the time. I was like, yeah, I just love previews. Show me what's coming. So basically, it's like a preview.
Yeah.
It's a preview of ESPN's it's a review, I guess I should say, of everything, and they put it on an in-house channel, and everybody laughs and like, hey, look, you know, this guy from, you know, this producer is in the corner right there. You watch him 100 times, you start seeing things that you didn't notice. My favorite was always the Charlie Steiner, when the world collapses and ESPN is like descending into bedlam. And Evander Holyfield is walking through the hallways like, Steiner, come get your whooping. That was always one of my favorites.
Good.
The one that Draymond Green has today is really good. It's like the way that we follow NBA players coming into an arena. They got Draymond walking in, like walking past a security guard. And Draymond's wearing, like, you know, just something cool that he'd wear to a game.
That's cool.
The next person comes in. I think it's like Scott Van Pelt or something, or it's Chris Fowler, and he's wearing like a vest, and it's just, he's trying a little bit too hard.
Yeah.
And then the third person in is John Buchagross, like in high heels, orange pants, like big earmuffs, like it just looks ridiculous. And he's just like, what's up, man? You know, so it looks like the parade of NBA fashion heading into work at ESPN. Anyways, it's the latest Draymond Green commercial. It's very, very funny. It's pretty good. I actually retweeted it earlier today. Hey, I wish we had a little bit more time to spend together this afternoon. As a matter of fact, technically we do. We got another hour coming up, but no more Damon Bruce Show. Carrie Keating joins me as we get into Warriors warm-up here tonight. Yes, Gianna?
Got a little news. Patrick McCall will start tonight.
There you go.
With Klay Thompson resting, so it's official.
It's amazing how all the options that they have on their team, they've turned to Kevon Looney and Patrick McCall to join the starting lineup. Steve Kerr, 100% believes in roster and depth integrity. Like, that guy knows his starting five is so good. He can take anyone out of it, almost put anyone in it, and not miss a beat. He doesn't want to mess around with the bench that much, so it'll be McCaw. There you go. Thank you very much for that, Gianna.
You're welcome.
Klay Thompson tonight. Thank you. I was going to get there, I promise. The big, big, big news today, I guess, is that the Raiders kind of surprised us. Surprised me anyways, and I know that there is a big handful of Raider fans out there who think that this is great, great news, that this is a part of the team that was being held back. I just think that you're evaluating things so wrong and so cockeyed that I'm really surprised that the Raiders did this. And I don't know how much I love the 2017 Oakland Raiders anymore.
Really?
Continuity is a big deal for me, and that's one advantage I thought that bringing back this entire coaching staff, certainly this entire offensive coaching staff, could have offered Derek Carr as you're looking to improve from his third year step forward into MVP candidacy. This guy was an MVP candidate. You're probably heading to New England trying to win your way into the AFC playoff game, into the AFC championship game. If he plays last week in Houston, if he plays in Denver, I think you get a bye. I mean, this team was a heartbeat away from a one seed based on how good their offense was only. Because let me tell you this, Janikowski, thanks for the memories. $4 million a year, not anymore. Cap's too tight. That's a goodbye situation. The special teams outside of Marquette King punting, special teams sucked. Name that one big special teams return that led to a touchdown. Oh, that's right. They didn't have one all year. The special teams did bupkis all year long. Special teams did nothing. Most of the time, this team's defense did nothing. Every single game, even the losses, the offense carried you the entire way, but for that Thursday night at Arrowhead, where it's the one night the defense actually played well, and unfortunately, in freezing cold weather, without Latavius Murray, there was nothing. Latavius was in that game. He missed the other game. Anyways, this offense saved this team's bacon all year long. You are a 7-8 win football team without this offense. And
not a 12
that's
win.
That's where the coaching change happens. All I can tell you is that Todd Downing, the guy who's been promoted, better be worth his weight in gold. Better be worth his weight in golden showers.
Ba-dum-bum.
I'm sorry. I cannot believe the news about the president-elect of the United States. But actually, we've reached the point where I'd believe anything. I think I'd believe anything. He's in the Tyson zone. He really is. He is in the Tyson zone. There's absolutely no story that you can't attach to that guy that for a minute I won't go think, okay, that maybe happened for real.
Yeah, nothing's like unbelievable anymore.
And how appropriate is it that tonight, and this is going to be your last taste of Fiesta Politico, everybody can go home screaming to their therapist if you can't handle it. How appropriate that as we're learning about the president-elect of the United States may be having a video released of prostitutes urinating on him. Ugh. One of the most dignified men ever serving in the office will say his final goodbye tonight. So, thanks, Barack. Dignify it up while you can, because starting on the 20th, apparently, we're all fighting each other with poop socks. And on that note, Gianna, thank you so much. Always good to see you.
Always.
Thanks to everyone back at the studio. Thanks to Mike Kropichka for setting us up and getting us inside today. Thanks to everyone back at the studio. Thanks to Don and Danny for making good choices, keeping us dry today. Thank you to Latavius Murray, to Tony Bruno, to Marcus Thompson. Thanks to everyone who called in for the Tuesday trifecta. Albie, thank you. Security, thank you. Crown Royal Club, let's keep kicking it. Warriors warm-up comes up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.